right in the middle of Bhagavad Gita, the end of the 9th chapter. So I'm going to read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 9, The Most Confidential Knowledge. And I'm going to read verse 26 and verse 27. Krishna says, Patram Pushvam Palam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tadaham Bhaktyu Paritam Ashnami Prayatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. And we'll read a little bit of the purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is verse 26. And then after a little while, we'll also read verse 27. So Srila Prabhupada says, For the intelligent person, it is essential to be in Krishna consciousness, engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, in order to achieve a permanent, blissful abode for eternal happiness. The process of achieving such a marvelous result is very easy and can be attempted even by the poorest of the poor, without any kind of qualification. The only qualification required in this connection is to be a pure devotee of the Lord. It does not matter what one is or where one is situated. The process is so easy that even a leaf or a little water or fruit can be offered to the Supreme Lord in genuine love, and the Lord will be pleased to accept it. No one, therefore, can be barred from Krishna consciousness, because it is so easy and universal. Who is such a fool that he does not want to be Krishna conscious by this simple method, and thus attain the highest perfectional life of eternity, bliss, and knowledge? Krishna wants only loving service, and nothing more. Krishna accepts even a little flower from his pure devotee. He is not in need of anything from anyone, because he is self-sufficient, and yet he accepts the offering of his devotee in an exchange of love and affection. To develop Krishna consciousness is the highest perfection of life. Bhakti is mentioned twice in this verse in order to declare more emphatically that bhakti, or devotional service, is the only means to approach Krishna. No other condition, such as becoming a Brahmin, a learned scholar, a very rich man, or a great philosopher, can induce Krishna to accept some offering. Without the basic principle of bhakti, nothing can induce the Lord to agree to accept anything from anyone. Bhakti is never causal. The process is eternal. It is direct action in service to the absolute whole. So that's a very nice verse, and we'll read the following verse in a few minutes. So here Krishna said, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhaktyu paritam ishnami prayatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. In this way, we can be accepted by the Lord. And when we are accepted by the Lord, then our lives become very wonderful. We become very happy. Happy in a very wonderful way. Not happy in just some foolish type of way, some meaningless type of way, but happy on a much deeper level in communion with God. So this is actually the perfection of life. Just like you saw the devotees here and the children on the stage. So of course the children, I don't know where they came from actually. They're not trainee swamis or anything. I don't know where they came from. Maybe from the flats around here or something, I suppose. But actually, I don't know. But there they were in this certain atmosphere here with the devotees, those who are actually serious devotees and practicing devotees and involved deeply in spiritual life. And by that association, they were dancing and chanting very happily. Yes. Did you ever see anyone in a havan? Not that we are opposed to havans. We do havans regularly ourselves. Did you ever see anyone in a havan start dancing around? Did you ever see that? As they're pouring some ghee into the fire, they get up and they're just so inspired by what they're doing. They just start dancing very happily. No, even as I said, I've done many havans, so many havans. I never saw it happen once. Yes, or even, you know, animal sacrifice, I suppose. Many of you have seen animal sacrifice. Did you ever see anyone become very joyful, dancing very happily in animal sacrifice, with all due respect? Because also it is mentioned in scripture, but we haven't seen it. And I'm sure you've not seen it. But here, in this age of Kali, in this current age we're in now, the recommended process, the most effective process, which works the most easily and the most quickly, is this process of chanting the holy names. It brings one to the spiritual platform very quickly and very nicely. And what does that mean, that it brings one to the spiritual platform? Well, the first thing it means is one becomes very happy, very blissful, as one becomes elevated. One's mind becomes lifted out of the ordinary everyday affairs that we're normally thinking about, this and that, and how our family is, and how work is, and, you know, all these things, what I need to get in the shops, and so on. So the mind becomes elevated out of all those ordinary things to a higher level. This is religion, after all. It is meant to be for a higher level, to elevate us. Not just another same old thing, but just in a little different way. No, it is something higher. Contact with God. So spirit, Lord Brahma, the creator, he defines spirit as Sat Chit Ananda. Sat means eternal. Chit means conscious, fully conscious. And Ananda means fully blissful, very happy. Yes. So that is there. That is there in the process of Krishna consciousness. This movement has spread all over the world. I think I mentioned yesterday that on the 12th I'm going to Russia. And I was talking to someone a few days about this. And he said, oh, do you have any temples in Russia? I said, yes, we have about 100 or so. And he was astonished. After all, here in South Africa, proper temples, we have maybe 6 in South Africa. But there we have about 100 or more. Yes, so this process is very effective. People coming from all sorts of backgrounds, they didn't know anything about these things, but they come in contact, particularly with this chanting, the spiritual sound vibration, this chanting of the holy names, which is, as we gave the reference earlier from Srimad Bhagavatam, the recommended and most effective process for God realization according to scripture. So through being involved in this, then they experience that. Their dormant God consciousness is reawakened within their hearts. And then they become elevated, lifted to the spiritual platform. It's very nice. So here in this verse, Krishna is explaining the basic principle. The basic principle is we must offer something to Krishna. We should offer something to him. It all belongs to him. But here we are taking it and we are saying, no, it's mine. But he is saying here, no, you should offer it to me. You should offer it to me. A leaf, a flower, fruit, or water. Let me just read the next verse, 27, because here Krishna just expands the idea, same idea, a further step. Yat karoshi yat ajnasi yat jahoshi didasi yat. Yat tapasyasi konteya tat kurushva mad arpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. So, ultimately, we should try to offer everything to God, because it belongs to him. But we can start, as he said in the first verse here, just offer one leaf, a flower, fruit, water, with some devotion, and he'll accept that. And when he accepts your service, then that's very important. It means he is recognizing you and accepting you. And you are connecting with him. So in this way, if you keep on like this, through being connected with God more and more, then you and your life changes for the better. You become more godly. And your life becomes more spiritual and much nicer. So this is a simple principle anyone can apply. Anyone can get a leaf, or a flower, or a fruit, or a little water. Anyone, even the poorest of the poor, can get these things, or at least one of these things. So now, what is Krishna's point? Is he just keen to get more leaves? Is he after your leaf? Does he want your fruit? You know, is he eyeing your flower and thinking, wow, I want that. How can I get it? Or your water. Is he thirsty? No, he's not. He doesn't need your flower or your fruit, with all due respect to you. He is not lacking. He is not lacking at all. For example, there are, in India, all over the world, particularly in India, there are thousands of temples. Thousands. And there, people are coming and offering, and the priests in the temple are offering so much food. And milk and flowers and so on and so forth. Tons every day. Just think, in our temple in Chatsworth, one temple, we are offering to Krishna. It is the same Krishna in all these thousands of temples in India and other parts of the world. The same Krishna. But just in our one temple here in Chatsworth, we are offering Krishna food. 6 times a day. Yes. Just think, his first meal is at 4:10 in the morning. Now, I know where you all are at 4:10 in the morning, and no one would expect normally to eat a meal, but Krishna does. And that meal is sweets, burfi, and rasgulla, and kheer, and rasmalai. Are you familiar with rasmalai? Oh, you don't know what you're missing. And pura and sandesh. These are, you know, quite exotic, traditional Indian sweets. And not made with milk powder either, but made from actual boiled down full cream milk. So Krishna has, you know, I would say a good kilo or so of sweets. Off to a good start at 4:10 in the morning. Right. Then next meal is about 8 in the morning, 5 or 8:10, thereabouts. So there he has some sabji, some nicely cooked vegetable, not just aloo bini, but, you know, some very nice traditional Indian style of vegetable with puris, deep fried in butter ghee. No sunflower oil. No. Deep fried in butter ghee. With, again, some sweets, 2 types of sweets, some fruit, some milk, some water. Second meal. Then, midday. Oh, he has a feast. It's called Raj Bhoga, the meal fit for a king. So there he has rotis, 2 or 3, sometimes 4 different types of vegetable preparations, curries you might say, and some samosas with chutney. And 2 types of rice. And it's only basmati rice, nothing else. No Aunt Caroline's. 2 types of rice. 1 plain white rice and 1 fried rice. You know, with vegetables, a more special type of rice. And dal. And again, more sweets. And milk. And so on. I may have left a few things out there even. Oh, so that's now about 12. Then again, at 4, it's the fruit offering. Only fruits. Many different types of fruits. Prepared, very, cut up very nicely. And then next, 6:30. 2 types of vegetable preparations, samosas and chutney, rotis, halava, suji, maybe some laddu, and more milk. Everything done in butter ghee. No sunflower oil, not a drop. So that's 6:30. Then, finally, 8 o'clock, deep fried in butter ghee, deep fried vegetables with puris, with pakoras and chutney and suji and milk, more milk. Krishna, after all, is Makhan Chor, the butter thief. He loves milk products. So Krishna is getting this. In our temple in Chatsworth, every day, 365 days a year. If we ate that for even just a week, if we ate sumptuously like that, then we'd get sick. We'd get very sick. But that same one Krishna, he's eating like that in Chatsworth, also in our temple in Lanesha, and in thousands of other temples around the world. So, you know, you think he needs your banana? Here, Krishna, are you hungry? Would you like a banana and a quarter of a liter of clover milk? Well, he doesn't need it like he's lacking. He doesn't need it. But he accepts it. Actually, he wants it in the sense that he wants to interact with you. He wants you to serve him so that you will be benefited. So that you, any of us, having been in this material world, struggling, here we have the human form of life, but perhaps we've been in many other forms of life that we don't know, in the cycle of birth and death, struggling so much, but he wants to give us the chance to connect up with him again and reestablish our relationship with him again. In this way, become free of the problems of day-to-day life. Even during this life, we can become free. And at the end of this life, we can go to the kingdom of God for eternal life, full of bliss and full of knowledge. So he does not need our leaf or fruit or flower or water. But he would like it because he knows in this way he has an exchange with you. He connects with you, or rather, you connect with him. And in this way, your relationship with him develops on the basis of service. I'll tell you one little story. In fact, it's to do with bananas. That Krishna one time, while Krishna was here on this planet, 5,000 years ago, Krishna went to Hastinapur, where the ruling family was living. At that time, Duryodhana, he was not actually a nice person, but somehow he was ruling. So Krishna went there. Duryodhana met him in the street and invited him, "Come to my house for lunch. We'll prepare a royal feast for you. You'll be the royal guest of honor. Come at lunchtime." So Krishna continued on. Then he met his old friend and very dear devotee, Vidura. Duryodhana, as we said, was not a nice person. He was ruling, but he was not a nice person. He was not a devotee at all, a very ungodly man. But then Krishna met Vidura, who was a great devotee, very, very nice, very dear to Krishna, but very poor. So Vidura also invited Krishna, "Please come to my place for lunch." So now Krishna has two invitations. Which one did he choose? The royal feast, or whatever the poor man could offer him? Well, he chose Vidura, the devotee. He went there. So Krishna went there. And Vidura, as we said, was very poor. He had very little. Actually, he only had some bananas. So Krishna sat down, and everyone was very happy. Krishna was happy being with his dear devotees. The devotees were very happy being with Krishna. So happy, extremely happy. But all they had was bananas. So out came the bananas, and Vidura's wife started peeling the bananas and handing them to Krishna. But she was so just beside herself with happiness that my Lord Krishna has come here to visit me in my house. So happy. She didn't really notice what she was doing. So she was peeling the bananas, throwing the fruit into the bin, and handing Krishna the skin by mistake. You know, she just sort of lost track a little bit. in her mood of spiritual ecstasy and love for the Lord. So there's Krishna getting these banana skins. I don't know if any of you ever tried a banana skin. Generally people don't, and I assume that's because they don't taste nice. But now Krishna, he was also so happy, so extremely happy, that he also was not exactly seeing what was going on so clearly. So Krishna was taking the banana skins without really noticing and eating them. He was eating the banana skins, one after the other, more and more. And Krishna told Vidura, you know, your bananas, these bananas, are the nicest bananas I ever tasted. Now don't go home and start trying your banana skins. Maybe you've just, you know, been turned on to some secret. No. Krishna was not really tasting the banana skin. He was tasting the love. So similarly, like I mentioned, in our temple, Krishna is fed so sumptuously. It's beyond any normal human being to eat like that, particularly on a regular basis. He'd probably die after a little while. But Krishna, he can digest anything. And then there's it's happening in thousands of temples. One Krishna in thousands of temples is eating so much. Not because he's hungry. Not because he's just gluttonous or something like that. But to have an exchange of love with his devotees. To give people the opportunity to approach him. He doesn't really need our service, but we need to serve him for our good. Yes. So this is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. And anyone can do this. This is what Prabhupada was explaining here. Anyone can do this. A rich man can do it. An ordinary man can do it. A poor person can do it. No one is barred. But through this process of serving Krishna and offering our food to him, offering our activities to him, even just a little bit, he says one leaf, he's speaking in the singular, one fruit, one flower, just one. So even if we do a little, what to speak of, if we offer our lives to him, then he very mercifully will accept. I'll close this part by just telling you one little story about Lord Ram. That when they were building that bridge, if you're familiar with the story, across to Lanka, and then they were going to attack Ravan and rescue Sita. But first of all, they were on the other side and they had to build the bridge. So at that point, before they built the bridge, they were there on the other side, on the India mainland side. When suddenly they saw one aircraft is coming. Not a Boeing 747 or something like that. This was a mystical aircraft made of flowers. Oh, I can almost read some of your minds. What do you mean a mystical aircraft made of flowers? Things have become so degraded now that we have to use these monstrous machines. But in those days, simply with mantra, they could release weapons. Simply with mantra, they could perform medical operations. Finally, after the battle of Kurukshetra, this is to do with Krishna, After that battle of Kurukshetra, one person came and fired one weapon at one lady who was pregnant. And that weapon, the idea was to kill the child within the womb, but not harm the mother. So how's that? In other words, very refined. They were not just cavemen or something like that. Very refined with very highly evolved science. Anyway, Lord Ram and Hanuman and company, Sugriva, Angada, Jambavan, they saw, here comes this mystical aircraft coming from Lanka, coming from the place of Ravan, the demon. As I mentioned yesterday, he was Rakshas. He was a cannibal. So they saw, here comes this aircraft, and they were wondering, well, who is this? And some of the monkeys were saying to Lord Ram that, you know, this vehicle is coming from Lanka. It must be some demon. Let's just kill him. There are no good people on Lanka. It's just like a nation of demons. Lord Ram said, no, let's wait, let us see who it is. So they waited and they saw, who was it? It was Vibhishan, one of the brothers of Ravan. Now actually this Vibhishan, even though he was the brother of Ravan, and Ravan was a terrible person, but this Vibhishan, his brother, was a very good person. Sometimes it happens like that. So he was a very good person. Actually, he was a devotee of Ram. And he was coming over from Lanka to join Ram, leaving his own brother to join Ram against his own brother, Vibhishan. So they saw, it's Ravan's brother, Vibhishan. But at that point, they didn't know that he's a devotee. They thought, he's just Ravan's brother, he must be bad. So Angada, he's one of the leading monkeys, friend of Hanuman, Angada, he told Lord Ram, look, it's Vibhishan, he's a demon, let us kill him, we'll just kill him right now. Lord Ram said, no, wait a minute, he's on his own, let's just see what he has to say. But Angada and some of the others, they were really thinking, no, let's just kill him. He's up to no good. But Lord Ram was saying, no, just be calm and wait. So Vibhishan landed. And Angada and company were saying, come on, he's a demon. Just let us kill him right now. And Lord Ram, he said, no, very calmly, please, just wait. He's on his own. Just let us hear what he has to say. So Vibhishan came and fell at the feet of Lord Ram because he was a devotee. Although they didn't know it really yet. But actually he was a devotee. He fell at the feet of Lord Ram. And Angada and the other, his friends were, you know, just saying, come on, they're practically going wild, they wanted to kill him. So then Vibhishan said, my lord, from this day on, I am yours. And Ram picked him up and embraced him and accepted him. And when this happened, Angada and his friends, they just lost their cool altogether. They just didn't like this at all. So they're telling Ram, come on, don't do this, he's a demon. And Ram got a little angry, or say, a little strong, a little firm. He said, Angada, even if Ravan himself came and surrendered to me, I would accept him immediately. And then the Lord spoke one famous verse. It's there in Ramayana. he said, that anyone who approaches me and who says, my Lord, from this day on, I am yours. Lord Ram said, I will never forget that person. I'll never forget him, ever. Even if he goes a little off track at some point. But I'll bring him back. I'll carry him back. He said, I will come and catch him by the hair and drag him back. So if any of you, I mean, you're all nice people. Anyone who's a devotee, trying to be a devotee of Krishna, of Ram, but somehow, maybe you go off track a little bit, and you end up in the disco, or the nightclub, dancing on the table, or something, you know, a little extreme. And suddenly, you feel someone grab you by your hair and drag you out. Maybe it's Lord Ram. But don't force him to do that. But please, we should understand this. The Lord is very merciful. But as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dhanaman Parijaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishami Ma Shuchaha. If you give up other dharmas, particularly cat and dog dharma and, you know, just very ordinary dharmas, if you give up Sarva Dharman Parichaja, give up other dharmas and Mam Ekam Sharanam, you take refuge in Mam Ekam, in me only, then Aham, I, Tvam Sarva Pap, I will take all your pap, all your sinful reactions, and Moksha Yashami, you'll be delivered. Ma Shucha, you don't worry, you have nothing to fear. But the thing is, Krishna says, first, you surrender to me. Give up your nonsense and surrender to me. Then I'll deliver you. So Krishna is waiting for that. When will we take that step? Those steps towards him. When will we start offering to him? Yes. When will we start doing that? Then he will accept us and deliver us and transform us, and in this way our lives and our families will become transformed. Yes. So this is very practical and very real and very simple, because the Lord is very merciful. He is very kind. Even you offer one leaf, one fruit, one flower, little water, he'll accept it. That'll be the first step. So, in this festival of ours, last 2 days and today, and it seems the following 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, we're trying to impart this message that you're all intelligent people. You're all spiritually minded people. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here on a Friday night. You'd be somewhere else. You'd be at the very least, lounging in front of your TV. But no, you're here. You're here. So this means you're spiritually minded people, thoughtful people, intelligent people. We're not flattering you. This is clear, actually. Therefore, you're here. So now, try and take it a little further, step by step. Move further forward in your spiritual lives. As we said, not that you have to throw everything away and just give up everything, become a swami. We don't expect that. Krishna doesn't want that, even. He doesn't really want that. He wants you more as you are. Yes. You can transform your life, just like and we've mentioned this, I think, every night so far, George Harrison. Such an extremely famous person. 100,000 times more famous than all of us put together. An extremely wealthy person. A household name throughout the entire world. But he connected with Krishna in his life. He offered to Krishna his singing, his music. And what a wonderful service. So many millions of people, young people, they became connected with Krishna consciousness through that. I will actually close, I mean before the questions, by mentioning just one little thing, a personal thing, about, I've said how through George Harrison many people's lives were touched. And I'll give you one example. The example is my 83-year-old mother in New Zealand. My 83-year-old mother, who is a widow in New Zealand, is a very ordinary old lady. But when I was there at home, and you know, as young people are, I was listening to the radio and the music and all that. So then out came George Harrison with this My Sweet Lord in 1970. So my mother would hear it, and she, you know, she's an intelligent person, a music teacher with a master's degree in music. So she liked this song very much. Now, when I was there in February in New Zealand, and I was preparing this very multimedia show, which you're going to see just in maybe half an hour or so, and I was compiling, getting bits and pieces and putting it together. So I got one little video clip of him, George Harrison, singing My Sweet Lord in concert, which you'll see. So there I was in my mother's house in New Zealand, putting this together on the computer, and then I would play this My Sweet Lord video. My 83-year-old mother came running in, singing this song like mad. And she told me that, you know, George Harrison had just passed away, so there was like a wave of interest in him all over the world just after he died. She said, you know, when I go to the supermarket, and I won't tell you what she buys in the supermarket, but she's not a vegetarian. She said, when I go to the supermarket, and you know, they play the music in the supermarket, she said, sometimes they play the song, and I just sing at the top of my voice, and I don't care what people think. My Sweet Lord. And that song is very much connected with Krishna, because they chant Hare Krishna on that song. So, there's a very ordinary Western lady from New Zealand. And, you know, they're not, traditionally at least, there were very few Indian people in New Zealand. Just recently Indian people have started going there. So it's not through contact with India, but it was through George Harrison. Now she has some attachment for Krishna. So just see, if she can, you can. Now I know many of you have already. Many of you are involved in Krishna consciousness in one way or another, practicing. I know, I can see some of you out there as some of our donors, people who help our movement. And some of you are just coming as guests. So that's fine. But the whole idea of this program is to give everyone a little taste and a little idea of what is Krishna consciousness and how it can be done by anyone. It is not just for some special people, different people, unusual people. It is not at all. It is for everyone. It is just a matter of knowing how to fit it into your life nicely. That's all. And that is why, like here in Tongaat, we have Aravin. You all, I think, you know, he's a well-known person in town, Aravin Maharaj. And all the devotees, we have a whole group of Hare Krishna devotees here in Tongaat. So if you are enjoying this and finding this interesting, don't just cut it off, you know, when you go home and sort of forget about it or put it on the back burner even. But speak to the devotees. Come to the programs. Every Tuesday night we have a program at that Tirupati temple, you know, on the up the hill here. In the basement they have a small hall. Every Tuesday, 7 o'clock or so, we have a program. Come along. Get involved a bit. Give it a try. Give it a try and see for yourself and make up your own mind. Yes. So Krishna consciousness is very nice and very practical and for everyone. So, for your own benefit, give it a try. Help yourself. Give it a try and see the benefit, how your life becomes transformed very positively, very nicely. You become very happy. So now, I'll answer, let's see, one or two questions, and then we'll carry on with the dance.